Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody here. It is a beautiful day out there. That's right. We need the rain. Rain is good. It's good to be gathered here today, too, on sacred and holy ground, to do what is right, to worship God, to lift high the name of Jesus. So right now, let's put all of our concerns, all of our baggage, the luggage of life, our busy schedules, even our aches and pains. Let's check them all at the door. Let's be here in this place, in sanctuary, free from the things of the world. And let's, with an open heart, let's embrace God. Let's be eager to hear what it is that God has for us today. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we pray that what we do here today is pleasing unto you. We pray that what we do here today is a powerful witness to the community around us, to our family and our friends and our co-workers, that we gather together on Sundays to worship you and to praise you, that we gather together during the week to do ministry and to reach out for you. We pray, Lord, that what we do here today is our way of saying to you that all that we have and all that we are belongs to you. So use us as you see fit. Bless and anoint this service, God. Bless and anoint our church. Fill us all with love for one another, and fill us especially with love for you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. And now, please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Good morning, church. I would ask that you please return to your seats, and while you do that, I do want to again offer a warm welcome, seconding Pastor's morning expression, and especially to our visitors. And if you are a visitor and would like more information about our church, please see any of our ushers today after worship. I would ask that you sign our registration sheets in the red folder located at the end of your pew. Please pass it to others and then bring it back to the center aisle. And if you have a prayer request this morning, please complete the 3x5 index card that you will find in that red holder. We do have a lot of announcements. I am going to call Eric, and while he's coming up, I do want to remind you that there is a yellow insert in your bulletin. Well, there's several yellow inserts. It's this little one. It's Musician Dedication Sunday, and it's scheduled for October 9th. And we would ask that you put your favorite hymns from either the red hymnal or the black hymnal on this list and give it to Diane, put it on the organ, or put it in the offering plate. And now Eric has a few words.
Actually, I'm going to sneak in first because I forgot to tell you about this. If you know someone who is a first responder and was not able to be in church last week when we honored them, we have a gift for them. So if you would come up and see me after the service, I'd be glad to give you one that you can pass on to that first responder in your family or a neighbor or a friend. Thank you. Excuse me.
Sure thing. I wanted that stuff. Good morning. I've been up here in front of two other worship services, and I got to tell you, it is nice to be home. talking to the people that I'm used to seeing every week, it's really nice. First, I have two things I want to talk to you about this morning. First of all, we are going to have a fellowship event next Sunday afternoon. I would invite all of you to come out to it. It's going to be a little cookout on the lawn. And we're just going to grill up some burgers and dogs. And people are going to bring some stuff. There's a sign-up sheet. If you can come, I would just ask that you sign up. If you can bring something, whether it be a side, a salad, or a dessert, just write that down, whatever you want to bring. If you can't bring anything or that just doesn't fit into your day but you still want to come, that's fantastic. We really want you there. So I'm going to pass this around, and just sign up if you can make it. Okay, now for the second thing. I wrote it down because I don't want to mess it up. Do you love the Lord? Yes, good. Do you want to serve him? Yes, good. Do you think that the church right now is giving you the best opportunity to serve him the way that we have things structured, like our committees? Maybe, maybe not. Would you rather be about meetings, or would you rather be about ministries? Ministries, yeah. So I wanted to tell you all about a change that's coming here to First United Methodist Church. This is a change that we're calling Ministry Now. Now, we will still follow our discipline and meet to take care of the administrative needs of our church. Things like nominations, church council, SPRC, finance, trustees. Those things are still going to meet regularly to take care of that administrative business that we always have. But when it comes to ministries, we're going to change the way we do things a little bit. We're going to meet to make preparations to do these ministries. But we're not going to ask you to come to the church once a month, 12 months out of the year, and come here on a weeknight and spend 2 hours talking about a whole bunch of various topics. Instead, we're going to meet only when we need to. There's going to be a scheduled meeting time that's going to happen. It's still going to happen once a month, but instead of being on a weeknight, we're going to do it Sunday, right after this worship service. It's going to be on the third Sunday of the month. And these meetings are going to be done in a small group setting. So if you're working on something that's happening this month, you'll come to that meeting and you'll just gather with your team of people that are doing that, and you'll talk about what you need to talk about. And then next month, if what you're doing isn't happening, you don't have to come to a meeting. So the workers are only going to go to these meetings on the months that affect the ministries that we're doing. These meetings, for some groups or some teams or some ministries, you're not going to have to meet at all. Currently, the leaders of our church are looking at the work that's being done in our church. We're looking at the ministries that are being done by our committees and by all of us. And we are seeing what ministries are happening, what ministries are suffering because we don't have enough workers. And we're also looking at what ministries aren't happening but are needed. In the coming weeks, there will be a list here in the narthex that's going to show what all of these opportunities for ministry are and how many people are needed to fulfill the work of this ministry. I implore you, take a look at this list. Look carefully at it. More information is also going to be in the newsletter, and we're going to follow up with stuff in the bulletins as well. But look at this list and find something or some things that you can be a part of and serve. It could be something like serving at the food bank on a Saturday, or ironing costumes for a children's Christmas pageant, making a pot of soup for an Ash Wednesday simple supper, singing in the choir, providing juice boxes to the Sunday school kids, drying silverware on the Philippi work trip. That's my daughter's ministry, by the way. I just had to throw that out there. But this list goes on and on and on. There are all kinds of work that has to be done, and we are all able to do some of it. So look at this list. Find the thing that you want to do. You know, it's hard because sometimes you look and say, well, I do want to do something, but I can't commit to getting here once a month and meeting. Or I don't like to drive at night. It's hard whenever we run into these things because it might be something that's standing in our way to doing the work that God wants us to do. There's also going to be blank spaces on this list. And these blank spaces are there for that ministry that perhaps God is calling you to do that none of the rest of us even know about yet. So look at this list. Think about what God has for you to do and serve. Let's not be mistaken. Bruce Judy is our pastor. But all of us, every Christian, is a minister. So let's be about ministry and not about meetings. Thanks.
I would remind you to please look at your bulletin very closely and check the scheduled meetings and other activities in the life of our church. Now please turn your hearts and minds to our worship service. Rise and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. Readings from Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my right. How long, O people, shall my honor suffer shame? But know that the Lord has set apart the righteous as God's own.
The Lord hears my call.
Be angry, but do not sin. Offer right sacrifices. There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good." You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound.
In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down and sleep.
Our hymn of the month, number 2153, In Your Black Faith We Sing, is our first hymn.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Our first reading from the Word of God this morning is from the New Testament in Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Hear Paul's words. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, godly and respectful in every way. This is good, and it is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony to which was born at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. And here ends Paul's words to Timothy.
Now, here we go. All right. So, let me ask you. Who loves you? God. Jesus. Bunches and bunches. Give me a fist bump. Fist bump. You know, and God wants us to love him more than we love anything else in this whole world. Anything. Here, come on with me. Let's take a walk. What's that? The piano. Okay. What's that?
A microphone.
Microphone, yes. What are these? Flags. Yeah, yeah. These are pews. What's that? I don't blame you. That's right. Come on back here. These windows are absolutely beautiful. Leaded stained glass windows. Very expensive. Very beautiful. Took a lot of work to make those. Absolutely gorgeous. Look at these arches. Aren't they beautiful? They are. They're just gorgeous. Look at the arch. Look at all the work. Look at the rafters up there. Way up there in the ceiling. Isn't that amazing? See that rafter up there? Do you see the string hanging down? See the string way up in the ceiling? Can you really see it? No, you're just telling me that. There's a balloon up there. It deflated and landed on the rafter. But look, what's up there? Oh, what else? It's what we call the balcony. Yeah, balcony. And there are all these lights. Look at all these lights. How nice these lights are. Wait, and you see this? That's a glare. Don't worry about it. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. Yes. Come on, guys. Okay. There's a lot of beautiful things in this church, aren't there? Lots and lots. This church is one of the most gorgeous churches I have ever seen. Hands down. I'll tell you what. It really is. Do you know how important this church is without God? It's not important at all. If God is not here, all this means nothing. All of the brick and the mortar and the paint and the stained glass and the pews and the microphones and the lights and all the trappings and everything, they mean nothing. They're worthless. Without God, God has to be in everything that we do. God has to come first. The reason for the church to exist is for God, is to serve God. And and all this other stuff that we've been talking about, it's not the church. That's just the building. Look at those people sitting out there. See all those people? That's the church. You are the church. We are the bride of Christ, the people that God has called together to do work for him, to go out and tell people about Jesus. All of this is nice to look at, but it doesn't mean anything if we're not doing what God wants us to do. Absolutely nothing. Come on up here. Come on over here. Put your hands up here. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we thank you for this building where we can gather together to worship you and to praise you and to do ministry. Pour out your spirit upon us in the ministry of this church, that it would be pleasing unto you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
amen.
Amen. And
no?
Thank you, choir and Diane. And at this time, I would ask for our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we give you thanks, God, once again for this opportunity to give back unto you just a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. And we give unto you, Lord, with a thankful and joyful heart. And we give unto you, Lord, as a way of saying to you that all that we have and all that we are belongs to you. And so, God, we ask that you would bless and multiply these offerings. Use them as you see fit for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ through the ministries of this church. Bless both gift and giver, those who are able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Joys. What joys do we have today? Okay, son and daughter. Nice to have you here. Bonnie got a job, yes. So, now she can keep me in the manner to which I'd like to become accustomed. Gina. Doug had a promotion? Okay. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Wait till they realize your real worth. Yes. Your son got a new job. All right. That's what I like to hear. Good. How many people were at the Penn Trafford Festival? Anybody? Oh, I tell you, that is wonderful. Thank God for what? Oh, all right. Yes, thank God.
Pastor, praise that Norwin's marching band took first place in Bands of America regional competition last night.
I think saw that on Facebook. Norwin's
marching band
took first place in the regionals of America's marching
bands of America.
Bands of America. Anybody else have a joy? Holy Spirit's working in this church, doing a new thing. Well, for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Now, pens, pencils, scratch paper, write it on your bulletin, tablets, or else use that mental notebook in your head. But this is everybody's work. As Eric said, we're all ministers. And this is a privilege. This is where we step into the gap for people, and we use our faith to come against these problems, to claim health and wholeness and freedom and peace and joy for people who are hurting. We have that power, folks, as the children of God. So our joys and concerns. Remember Joyce. Continue to pray for Joyce in our prayers. And June. And Nancy. Who else do we want to pray for? Okay, Andrew O'Neill and family. For Hannah. For Phil.
Bill.
Bill. Okay, keep Bill in your prayers. Our church.
Country.
Our country and our country's leaders. What was the last one?
Military.
Men and women in the military. For those who are addicted to anything.
First responders.
They are back in the news again. People taking shots at them. Concerns for yourself or somebody else. My older sister Midge retired Friday. And so for Midge in retirement. For Connie. Okay, Barb? Okay, so for Barb, for good test results. Unspoken. Whatever it is that might be on your heart, just give it to God with the raising of the hands, our act of faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name once again. And it is good, God, to be here, to know that we have your attention. You certainly have ours. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, the author and sustainer of life, the giver of immortal gladness. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us, for the food that we eat, the clothes that we wear, the roof over our heads, the cars that we drive, this country in which we live, our health such that it is, the friends and families in our lives. Thank you for trials and tribulations, that you're with us every step of the way and that they increase our faith. And oh God, our God, we lift up into the light and love of your presence Sandy and Denny and Edna and Betty and June and Nancy and Joyce and Aaron and Hannah. And we lift up to our first responders, our country and our country's leaders, our church, the ministries here, our community. We lift up to you Andrew and his family and Bill and Midge and Connie and Barb, men and women in the military, those who are traveling, and our marriages, relationships, work, And we lift up to you the unspoken request. God, we believe. Help our unbelief. We believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And we believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And that regardless of what the world says, regardless of what circumstances look like, with you, God, all things are possible. It is written. We have favor with God and man. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we will be careful to give you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Gospel according to Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their homes. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Please be seated. We're excited about the new thing that we really believe God wants to do in us and through us here at the church. And it was at Wednesday's lay leadership meeting, and we kicked around an idea that was supposed to take place next summer, and all of a sudden it just happened. I mean, it was just the Holy Spirit just caught fire. So we're excited. I'm sure you've heard it. Don't stop me if you've heard it, okay? There was a man lived in a house that sat up on a little hill. And it was a bad storm. The rain came down and came down day after day after day. And the streams rose, the rivers overflowed their banks. Flooding occurred. And the water started coming up all over the community. Over the TV and radio, they warned the residents to get out, to seek shelter, to go to higher ground. And the man got down on his knees and he prayed. He said, God, save me. God said, I will. So the man stayed home. The water came up to his front yard, into his porch, and the firemen came in a boat. And they said, we're here to save you. And he said, no, I already asked God. God's going to save me. So they left. And the water chased him upstairs. He had to climb out onto the roof. He held on to the chimney. And a helicopter came by. And they put down a ladder. And they said, come on up, we'll save you. And he said, no, I've already asked God. God's going to save me. So the helicopter left. And the flood waters rose. And they washed the man away and he drowned. And as he went up and stood before God, and he said, I don't get it, God. You said you'd save me. And God says, I gave you an announcement on TV. I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. Come on, you got to do something. God blesses us. God pours out all kinds of blessings on us. We indeed are a blessed people, aren't we? Uh-huh. What kind of car do you drive, Eric?
Pickup truck.
Pickup truck. How many people can you sit?
Three.
You have an automobile?
Yes.
What kind is it?
It's a two-door four-seater.
Four-seater?
Yes.
Okay. You drive? What kind?
Subaru.
Subaru. How many people can you sit?
Five
uncomfortably. That's right. That's being honest. You drive a Jeep. You know what it says on Bonnie's Jeep across her windshield? I may get lost, but I never get stuck. That's what it says. You have a vehicle?
Yep.
What kind is it?
Truck.
How many can it sit?
Five.
Okay. How many coats do you have?
Coats?
Yeah, winter coats, summer coats, windbreakers, hoodies, all together. Half a dozen? Okay. That's good. How many pairs of shoes do you have?
Well, please don't ask me that. I couldn't even begin to tell you. I honestly couldn't.
Okay. 100?
At least?
Okay. It's all right. We are talking about pairs, not singles, right? Just 100? Okay. All right. The lady last night was 70 pairs. You've got her beat. That's right. Purses.
20.
Okay. If you couldn't get out of the house, how much food do you have? How long would you, the food you have, how long would it last?
A couple weeks.
Okay. Unless I came to visit, it would be a couple days, but a couple weeks. Okay. How many pairs of gloves do you have?
All kinds.
Yes, working three. Three pairs of gloves. We've got vehicles. We've got, homes. Penny, how many bedrooms does your home have? Three? How many bedrooms does your home have? Three?
Two?
Okay. Well, we've got cars that hold four people, five uncomfortably. We've got lots of shoes, a bunch of coats. We've got enough food to last us for a little bit. Purses. We've got all kinds of stuff. You know what? God don't care about any of that. God will never ask you how many you have, how big it is. What God will ask you is, did you use it to help somebody? So it doesn't matter if you have a lot or if you have a little. It doesn't matter if you can only ride two people in your car or a dozen people in your car. It doesn't matter if you've got four bedrooms in your house or one. None of that matters. What matters is, are you using what you have for God's glory to help somebody else? That'll be the big question. That's the parable of the shrewd manager. Let those who have ears hear. The woman, Jesus and his disciples were sitting on a hillside. They're looking down at the temple, and people were coming in, and they're putting money into the big offering bowl in the courtyard. Jesus says, "Now look at that." He said, "Do you see the Pharisees and the rich people putting their money in, making a big show out of it?" And the disciples said, "Yeah." They said, "They're not really putting in that much because they have a lot of money. They're putting in very little. But watch this little old lady. She came up and put in a couple pennies." He said, "That was all she had. She put the most in out of anybody because she gave out of her need." So let those who have ears hear. It doesn't matter if we have a little or a lot. What matters is how we use it for God. How we use it. No one can serve two masters. We cannot serve both God and money. And our attitude toward our possessions reveals the nature of our hearts. Our attitude towards our possessions. It says in Romans chapter 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies," and that means everything that we have, "offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world." Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What is the pattern of this world? All I've got to do is read the paper, watch TV, and it's all about gimme, gimme, gimme. More, more, more. I don't know about you, but I mean, the hamburgers it's like half a cow anymore. You know, I just want a regular sandwich. And yet they're super burgers. They're $4, $5, $6 more. And the French fries. I mean, fresh cut French fries. They come in a big pile and well, we have to get some after church. Gotta love them fries. This is a giant potato right here, let me tell you. But everything is huge. It's all about having lots and lots of stuff. God doesn't care about that. He cares about how we use it. And that's the pattern of this world, is to have a lot. Well, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And you renew your minds through your prayer and study of Jesus. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4, verse 4. "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." If you want to live your life more concerned about what you have, how you're going to spend it, what you're going to do with your time and talents and gifts, if you're worried more about taking care of your car and your house and your yard and your clothes and getting more food and building up your bank account and going places and doing things that you want to do, if you're more concerned about those things than you are about what God wants you to do with your life, then you are a friend of the world and you are an enemy of God. Oh, but I love God. I say my prayers, I read my Bible, I come to church. It just so happens that the rest of the time, I take care of my property and I do with what I have what I want to do. And I spend my time doing what I want to do, going where I want to go. I still go to church and I come to a meeting at church, but the rest of the time, Jesus said that if you want to be my follower, you got to pick up your cross daily. He said, you've got to hate your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your children more than you hate me. You got to love me more than you love anybody, anything. You've got to eat my flesh, drink my blood to live. It's not a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It's all or nothing with God. Again, Eric said, we are all ministers. John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Matthew 25, it's all about the sheep and the goats, remember? The people came to him, and Jesus divided them, and he put all those people on the one side who were helping people, called them sheep, and all those people who cared more about their possessions and doing what they wanted to do, he put them on the right, on the other side, and called them goats. And he said, every time you help somebody out with the stuff that you have, that's when you did it to me. And when you didn't help somebody out, that's when you did it to me. That which you've done unto the least, my brothers, you've done unto me, Jesus said. It's not easy. I know it's hard. It is hard to separate ourselves from our possessions. It is hard not to be worried about the house and the condition it's in and the cars. And I mean, we're supposed to be good stewards, right? We're supposed to take care of that stuff. But there comes a time when we begin to cross the line and we want to be better than our neighbors and have more than somebody else's God. And we're more concerned about having fun and going places and doing things than we are about doing ministry. Then we're in trouble. I know it's not easy. I can give up some stuff. First service, we went through this, and I've got a CB radio at home, one of them emergency ones. It's in a case with a magnetic antenna and it plugs into your cigarette light. I haven't used that in years. You know, if somebody needs that, I don't mean want it, but I mean if you need it, you can have it. So that's nothing. That's nothing to part with that. Some guy come up to me after church, said, I sure could use your pickup truck. I said, I'll pray about that. I said, you are talking about payments too, aren't you? And he said, no. When we give out of our needs, when we make sacrifices to help other people, to use the things that we've got to help other people. When we invite people in to eat at our place, to sleep at our place, when we feed them, clothe them, give them a ride, help pay their bills, when we do those kind of things, we're being faithful in a little, and God will bless us with much. When we do those things, we are not a friend of the world, because the world's going to say we're crazy for doing that. But we will be a friend of God's. But when we worship the building, when we worship the entrapments, the architecture and the windows, and when we're more concerned about what kind of shape this place is in, more concerned about that than the people who are lost and don't know Jesus, then we're wrong. And we become a friend of the world. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. It is hard. But in Joshua 24, it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so I want to challenge you. I want to challenge all of us. Here's the challenge. Because I know this is hard. And it's not something I can tell you about and you walk out and say, okay, crazy pastor, you know. He's nuts. Yeah, I am. But I really want us to get a hold of this because it'll set us free. We wrestle with loving our possessions more than we love God. Up here we say it's not true, but the proof is in the pudding. And so my challenge to all of us is this week, I want you to look at your possessions. Something that you have. Pick out something that you have that you really like and give it to somebody in need. No strings attached. But take something you own give it to somebody you need. I'm not talking about those pair of tennis shoes that are all worn out and ready for the garbage. I'm not talking about that dollar plastic watch that you bought. Go deep. Go deep. Because you're going to be sending a message to God, and especially to yourself, that you are not owned by your possessions. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's hard. God, we want to live on Easy Street. We want plenty. We want to have fun. We want to enjoy life. And God, we know that you want us to have life and to have life more abundantly. But God, we also want to make you more important than anything else in our lives. You are more important to us than anything that we own, anything that we have. Help us, God, to let go of our love of things, to let go of these things and to love you with everything that we have, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. For no one can serve two masters. No one. So we choose you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing song, Standing as We Sing. I tell you, you know, after both times after the sermon, I had to spend some time thinking about what I would give away. It's hard. It's hard. You start thinking about, well, not that. I can't part with that. Maybe I can give that away. And then you got to wonder, if you settle, what are you saying? Why did he have to say that? We have coffee hour today. You are all invited to stay and have some fellowship, and there's some refreshments right across the hall. We'd love to have you. Church picnic next week, right down out back here. Going to have fun and just a casual picnic. Come as you are. That's 4 o'clock next Sunday, so we'll have a good time. Lots of other things going on, and God is doing a new thing. So please keep the church in prayer. We want to be all about what God wants us to do. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we pray that you would watch over us and keep us safe as we depart this place. We pray, God, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us go. Use us as you see fit, Lord, for your honor and glory and praise. May our lives, all that we have and all that we are, be all about you. We pray that people see Christ in us. We can only do that with your Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, into our hearts and into our homes right now. We ask all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.